Welcome to Dream Business Radio, the place to create your dream business now. Get ready for some inspiration, some encouragement, some proven business building strategies, and a couple of new ideas
that you haven't even thought of.
It's time to leave Slow and Steady as She Goes to the other entrepreneurs, because this program is all about speed and fast results. And now, broadcasting from his floating home somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean, the dream business coach himself, Jim Palmer.
Hello there, everyone. Welcome to another fantastic live episode of Dream Business Radio. I am your host, Captain Jim Palmer, and I am the dream business coach, coming to you today from beautiful and sunny St. Augustine, Florida, in my rolling home. I am the founder of the Dream Business Mastermind and Coaching Program, creator of No Hassle Newsletters, and host of this podcast now, and it's I forget how many years, but this is episode 595. I guess I can do some quick math. But I got a really cool guest today. Joe Rare is with me today. Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm so excited to talk to you. And you know, you had a family obligation come up, so I'm glad we could get you rescheduled. I love the topic we're going to talk about, so bear with me for maybe 30 seconds here.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, this episode of Dream Business Radio, guess what? It's brought to you by the Dream Business Mastermind and Coaching Program. And this is my final year. I'm going to retire and stop leading the group at the end of this year. So if you're an entrepreneur who wants to grow a more profitable business faster, if you want to create multiple streams of revenue, and especially if you want to learn how to charge what you're worth so you too can work just 3 days a week, something I've been doing for 8 years now, you want to be part of this extraordinary virtual mastermind led by me, Captain Jim Palmer. Learn more at dreambizcoaching.com, dreambizcoaching.com. At the end of today's show, I'm going to tell you how you can get free copies of all of my books, my dream business books. If you think I'm talking fast today, I am, because I want to pack so much into this half hour. We're talking about growing multiple businesses with no employees. So we're talking about virtual assistants. Let me introduce Joe and we'll get right into it. Joe Rare is an underground serial entrepreneur, investor, outsourcing expert, father and husband. We were just talking about all the activities his kids are in, which mine were in 20 years ago or maybe longer. He currently owns 4 digital companies, 5 wedding venues, and real estate investment properties. Joe began with a door-to-door product sales business, which, you know what? That doesn't surprise me. Every successful person who's really good at sales starts door to door. It's some kind of an unbelievable proving ground, which grew from a team of 2 to 40 employees in under 2 years. He later sold that company. After 27 months, his passion for sales never dimmed, but he discovered what his life's work would be: building digital businesses. It's awesome. The road was definitely made with a lot of dirt to fill in the potholes, as he says. There were failed businesses in the early days, but he took the failures in stride and learned to create wins. He has since built multiple 7+ figure companies and built a strong and growing real estate portfolio. Joe focuses on helping small to medium-sized businesses around the world while working from the comfort of his home in Montana and enjoying big sky country with his family. And the cool thing is, of all the success Joe has had building companies, all are fully run today by virtual assistants. Joe Rare, welcome again to Dream Business Radio, my friend.
Thanks, my man.
You know, I always tell people, you know, we've been on for a long time, and last year, I stopped counting this year because I'm actually running the podcast through June, and then that's it. But all last year, I had like almost 200 people apply. And one of the things that hits me, first of all, if I get a good quick introduction of one sheet and I can look, and I don't know, do you have a podcast, Joe? I think you do, right?
We're just building the can right now. Yeah.
Well, you're gonna get a lot of people apply that sound like the greatest thing since sliced bread, but then you dig a little deeper and you find out a little bit of marketing spin there. Yeah. But when I checked you out, I'm like, dang, this guy's really got a great backstory. So I was very excited to have you on.
Awesome.
And so you've created several successful online businesses, which is an amazing feat in and of itself. But you've also discovered, you know, maybe what I call the holy grail, which is doing it all by VAs or virtual assistants, which means no employees. I mean, if there's anything, you know, when I wrote my business plan 24 years ago, it was like, I think I kind of embellished the story, but I had one line: no employees. Everything else was open for interpretation. But so I want to dive into all of the things that go into this and how you keep doing it over and over again. But did you have any mentors or role models as you were growing up that kind of exposed you to the world of entrepreneurship?
You know, the world of entrepreneurship, my my real dad was a failed entrepreneur is what I call it. Mm-hmm. Meaning that he just never built a business that was successful, but that's all he ever did was try to build businesses. So okay. It was a major struggle growing up, watching him constantly fail. So that was challenging. On the flip side of that though, I read everything and I read books like crazy. The one that really kind of put the nail in the board for me was, you know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Right.
And I read that before I was either 17 or 18 years old. I read it on a trip while we were actually in an RV. And it hit, and I just knew from that point forward that I was going to become an entrepreneur, that was going to be the thing that I was going to do. So that's kind of where I just kind of molded it in. But later, as I've done all these podcast interviews and I've, you know, been on different shows and stuff, somebody was able to kind of drill me down to my childhood, to where I saw the success as an entrepreneur. And one of the areas that I really found it that made the most sense, why I was kind of drawn to it, mm-hmm. was I had a good friend who I played baseball with. His dad used to take us to baseball games, Oakland A's games, because I grew up in Northern California. He'd take us to an Oakland A's game in like the middle of the week, in the middle of the day, afternoon game. And I couldn't, it always was like, wait, my parents have to work. How is this guy able to do that? And later, as I got older, I realized he owned the biggest businesses in the small town that we lived in.
Nice.
And he was probably one of the most wealthy people in all of the town. And I realized, oh my gosh, that's it. And then so when I, you know, later at Red Rich Dad Poor Dad, like all of it now made sense to me. And I'm like, that's it. That's how Jim did it. And I'm going to stick with Jim.
Nice. You know, so, in the early, my wife and I have had kayaks early on. We kind of lived a couple miles from this beautiful lake. And I remember during the day, maybe at noon or something, I would take the kayak and go and just paddle around and have lunch. And I'd go back and go to work. One time there was a woman with her kids on the beach there. And she said, "Would you mind if I ask what you do that you get to paddle in the middle of the day?" I said, "Yeah, I own my own business." And she goes, a very common thing, and I don't think she meant it mean, but she goes, "Wow, it must be nice." And I said, "Well, right. It does have its advantages." As I drive home, I'm thinking, she has no idea I work 80 hours.
Yeah, well,
and so if I take, you know, anyway.
It's tough for people, too, because they don't understand the challenge, the struggle, the pain that goes into building businesses. I mean, it's a very lonely experience.
So there's so many ways I could take this interview. And I want to talk about some of your companies and everything, but I want to stick with the whole thing of virtual assistants. Cause to me, that is leverage. That's when you find out, you know, most people are bootstrapping, chief cook and bottle washer. Nobody can do it as quick or as fast or as cheap as I can. So why would I pay somebody else to do it? But they just get stuck in that, you know, malaise and that little vortex of you're never going to go anywhere. Right. So why don't you start with a little bit of what are some of the key benefits of hiring VAs? I'll just call them VAs, folks, for entrepreneurs and small business owners.
Well, I mean, the first one is always going to be, you know, the way that we hire being that they're overseas, right? So our team's based, you know, primarily in the Philippines, some in South America, Central and South America. But cost leverage is number one, right? Mm-hmm. So you think about a small business, the biggest challenge most businesses have when they are right at that moment that they need support, but they don't have, and they can't afford to pay somebody. They don't have any money.
Okay.
And so the way, you know, we could talk about the process and how I do it over and over again, but the beginning piece of it is you don't have any money. So you need the lowest cost labor you could possibly get. Virtual assistants are a great way to do it, right? So you can get lower cost team members to support you with all of those tasks that you need done. And that will give you the opportunity to focus on the things that create revenue, right? Mm-hmm. And that, you know, as you're starting your business, the only thing you should be worried about is creating revenue. And you can teach anybody else how to fulfill services, how to fulfill product, like whatever that is, you can teach that. But the sales side of it, selling your dream, selling your, you know, selling that really, really is important that the entrepreneur does that in the beginning and they can focus on revenue. And so the virtual assistants, that's the biggest key is cost leverage. And then it creates opportunity leverage. And that opportunity leverage is gigantic because it's infinite. So that's you can make an investment. So I love to tell people, I forget the exact numbers, I'll have to look them up. But you know, when I launched one of my agencies, I had one virtual assistant doing prospecting and he just lined up business for me to do, for me to close. My only job was to close the deals he put in front of me.
Nice.
And he prospect 8 hours a day. And so my cost, I paid him I think it was like, you know, $1,600 a month or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. So that's how much it costs to have that virtual assistant. He created it, opportunities that led to, in 4 months, right? He led to, we reached $109,000 a month in top line revenue.
Wow.
In just 4 months. And so if you compound that with all of it, you know, the return on investment was almost 4,000%. And most people can't understand that you can go get that right now if you put somebody into play in your business and you can get that return.
Yeah. And I think the key thing there is, like, even if you're a business owner who's not great at sales, there's, in my world, nobody's going to be as great of a rainmaker, you know, the one who closes. Nobody's going to be as great of a rainmaker as like the owner of the business, right? Typically. And so when they can farm out some of these other duties, whether it even be fulfillment or just getting the appointments or anything, and I say that is you as the owner focusing on high revenue generating activity. And there's Absolutely. Nothing more important than that. So was that something you learned, or was that just come natural to you? I need to bring in the money and then we'll figure out the rest. Because so many people get stuck in, I've got clients, I've got to take care of them, so they don't go on sales calls because they're busy handling it. But then those clients go away and now they're stuck.
I think a lot of it was observation. You know, okay. I'm around a lot of entrepreneurs. I am trying to start my own business and things like that. And you realize that, you know, you get in your cycle, right? You do a sale. Then it leads to, you need to fulfill whatever it is that you just sold. You need to fulfill that, whether it even be product shipment or whatever else. You've got to create leverage on that piece of it, because otherwise you end up doing fulfillment. Then you're not selling, which means your revenue flattened. So right. Now you're spending all of your time doing fulfillment, and then you got to come back and start doing sales again. Now you're doing your sales, so you're losing your client because you're not paying attention to them. And then you get this cycle. And so it's almost, you know, the two steps forward, one step back, and the growth mm-hmm. is just unbelievably slow. And so through observation, I just watched everybody around me just, you know, really have trouble building revenue. And I'm like, well, I don't want to do that way, right? That's terrible. And, you know, I need to make sure that I'm closing deals. And so the only way for me to give all of my attention to that is to have somebody else available to do the fulfillment. So somebody else has to do that so that I could close deals.
I always said, when I was doing my own live events, I always said it's always feels like you're putting the cart before the horse, whether you hire an employee, a virtual assistant, it always feels like, oh, because you don't want to do it, right?
Yep. But
when you're building a business, you put the cart before the horse on day one,
yeah,
right? Because there's no guarantees and you have to do that. It's one of the scariest things. But what are some of the best practices? How do you find, here's a multi-part question. How do you find them and kind of manage them and set realistic expectations? Because one of the things I think some people struggle with is a virtual assistant is not an employee. So you can't dictate necessarily the hours and things like that. But yet, how do you do that with so
many? Well, there's, you know, so just kind of on that last part of the question, the dictating hours, mm-hmm. you know, in theory you can. In essence, right? So yes, they're not directly an employee of yours. However, you could say, hey, if you'd like the contract to work with me, these are my expectations. And here's the hours that I'm on. If you can't be on during my hours or during whenever, you know, I need you on, then this doesn't work and you don't get to work with me.
Okay.
And guess what? If they want to work with you, they'll be like, okay, great. I can be there during those hours. That's no big deal. And that's not mandating hours. That's saying, hey, in order to work with us, here's what we need for our fulfillment, for our service, for whatever. So all of our team works our hours, our clients' hours, and so forth. As far as finding virtual assistants, I mean, there's a bazillion places to go look online, and Upwork and Fiverr and, you know, online jobs and all these other things. Or, you know, this is what we do. You know, my biggest company is my virtual assistant services company. And this mm-hmm. is what we do. We actually staff businesses with virtual assistants. And so we recruit right. specific for skill sets. We have project-based services where you could say, hey, I've just got all this work that I need to get done, whether it's graphic design, video editing, marketing, funnel building, website development, all these things. You can buy blocks of hours and have those services fulfilled and just submit projects if you just want to do that.
So you find and train, if necessary, the people, and then
And we manage their payroll, and we manage all of the benefits, and we manage, wow. you know, and make sure that they show up and they get their work done and they're being productive and that they have all the support that they need in order to execute. And we do training where there's training necessary and all of those things. I mean, we handle all of it in-house so that when a client says, hey, I need a virtual assistant who can manage my marketing automation, okay, great. We put them in place. We know that they're good because we've tested them in my companies. Mm-hmm. I know they're good because they worked for me.
Okay.
And so that's how our process works.
So let me ask you, so this may be a question you don't want to answer. So feel free. I don't want to answer that or punt it away because it might be legal or whatever. I know in the United States, there are certain laws, like if somebody works, you know, if there's certain expectations or whatever, because you have virtual assistants in the Philippines, is do you get around that or?
What type of things?
I'm familiar with, I had a client or I still have a client in the HR field, and she works with growing businesses that have employees and sometimes hires virtual assistants. And some of the labor laws say, well, if they're, even though they're 1099 subcontractors, if they have to be either here at a certain time, or it's kind of why I asked that question, then you, then they're really classified as a W-2 employee.
Well, in foreign countries, they don't have the same labor laws. That's
okay. That's what I was
wondering. So the labor law is different in the Philippines, as an example, where 99% of our VA bases, that doesn't exist there the same way that it exists in the United States.
Okay, cool.
And again, it comes down to expectations. It's not so much, I'm not going to force you to be here in order to, you know, but if you want this job, these are what we need. And if you can fulfill it, awesome. If you can't, no big deal. It's a choice, not a directive.
Got it. Very good. What about the rise of AI and like automation and things? Is that going to have an impact on the VA industry or?
I think it will. I think it's going to shift what people do. So one of the things I love to tell people, because I get this all the time, what's going to happen to all the VAs? And I'm like, they're going to learn AI. Because what's interesting is that AI doesn't work unless you input something. So what they call that is a prompt engineer. And so, you know, until I still think we're a ways off from having AI truly take over. There's going to be a lot of, you know, I actually was watching Patrick Bet David was talking about a lot of the who's going to get affected most by, you know, by this. It's not laborers. It's not people who are, you know, labor intensive type people. It's actually people who have repetitive tasks, but it's going to be actually specialists. Because all of a sudden attorneys are going to be very, very impacted when you can get every legal answer off of every single case law that has ever existed and you can get it in a second.
Well, that's true.
Imagine an attorney. Medical. So I actually was just down in Vegas it's been about a month. And this company AI Wellness, they're a client of ours. And then I was being interviewed and we were talking about how AI was going to affect the wellness industry. Guess what? You don't need to go to your doctor as often as AI improves. Hey, here are my symptoms. And you'll be able to upload photos soon and be like, hey, this is what the rash looks like. And this is what happened. And this is how it, and they're going to give you an answer that's actually probably more accurate than a doctor because a doctor is subjective.
That's right.
He can go off of his experience, but he can't go off of every piece of published medical data ever. That's what AI is going to create. However, it's still going to require somebody to prompt to get the output. There's no output without an input with AI. So people who learn to do input are going to be very, very valuable. And we're making the VAs, you know, learn this. This is like, hey, this is what you guys got to do. Otherwise, you're going to get washed out.
Would you call that a prompt engineer?
Yeah.
I love that. That's pretty cool. Yes. I want to ask you about you have multiple businesses, but there's four main businesses today. If I understand. So there's Level 9 Virtual, Wedding Book System, Engage.app, and one that
So the four are Level 9 Virtual, which is the VA company.
Okay.
Wedding Booking System is our SaaS and marketing service company for wedding venues. So we work directly with wedding venues. We do marketing and marketing automation. Then we have, so we took Engaged App and we actually combined it into Wedding Booking System and became one. So we got rid of that other brand. Then we have a company called Flat Rate Dispatchers. This one's kind of fun. We started a freight dispatching company that we have virtual assistants do dispatching for truckers.
Really?
We have a team in the Philippines and we just, you know, we have somebody who closes deals with truckers. They pay a flat rate every week. We dispatch all their loads for them. And then, you know, we handle logistics. And so we have a team that does that. And the manager is in the Philippines. His team is in the Philippines. He runs the whole show. I check in on it once a month or so and find, make sure that we're still cruising along. So there's that one. Then we have a data resolution business, which is essentially traffic shows up to a website, you're running ads, you're trying to get people to your website. Most people, you know, 75, 80% of people bounce and they don't actually opt in. They don't give you their information. They don't become a lead. We have technology and some AI tools that we use that can match the anonymous website visitors that hit the site that bounced. Wow. And we can match 35 to 50% of everybody who hit the site. We can get contact information, net worth, whether they have kids, if they're married, if they own a home, all of this data that you could then use as marketing data. And wow. So that's impressive.
Really high level stuff.
Yeah. And then the last one, so it's technically five companies, but you know, we have Campground Digital, which was, you know, kind of my gimmick with during COVID. We were cruising around traveling, my wife, my kids and stuff. And we were trying to find campgrounds, couldn't find any that, you know, when you look online, unless they're with some of the major companies like KOAs or Thousand Trails or any of those, then you'll see a good website. But most of them, when they're mom and pop owned, you don't know anything about it. And so we had an instant where we were traveling, we checked, you know, we said, hey, let's book this one. It looks nice from what we can see. We get there and we find out that they don't allow kids to ride bikes. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, how is this not on your website? How do we not know this? So we literally we're like, all right, we're out of here. And we left. And I was like, you know, there's an opportunity here. These people are terrible at marketing. We could support them. And so I took my iPad and I sketched out a landing page and then I sent it to my VA and said, hey, can you create this landing page? We're just going to call people and just say, hey, we can help you. And we ended up building a business out of it.
So the business is not necessarily helping travelers, campers like myself. It's helping the campsites present themselves better.
Correct.
Wow. Very cool.
Putting in marketing tools, marketing automation, text messaging, things like that. Improving websites, all that stuff. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Cause we're right in the middle of that, trying to find these sites and then their online reservation thing hiccups. And then you start over. And then this one says, you got to call, you call, they don't answer the phone. It's like, good Lord. Yep,
100%.
It's a job just trying to find where you're going next.
So, I mean, and that's why it's so easy for like these KOAs and stuff to come in and buy every small campground and RV park, because they're so bad at marketing anyway. You know, KOA is getting in at a deal. And I'm like, hey, if you want to compete, like up your game with your marketing, we can help you with that.
So maybe go a little bit higher level, what I call 10,000 foot view. What's the biggest thing you've learned about growing multiple seven figure businesses especially through the use of VAs?
It's processes. Okay. 100%. It's all about processes and creating things that are replicable. So you don't have to reinvent the wheel every single time. So we, you know, if you were to look, you know, all the companies that I just named seem, you know, okay, some of them are digital, you know, one of them's a little more, you know, logistics based, but still all done on the internet or phone. If you look at the back end of the business, how we run our HR, how we run finance, how we manage our books, how we handle our marketing, how we, you know, handle teams and client success and all those things, every business is identical. So we could pick somebody up over here in company A and move them to company D and they know exactly what to do. Terminology, just because of the niche, might shift a little bit. Other than that, it's identical. They know like, hey, my job is to do this, 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 and this. Here's how I do it. And then they can step in and do it. And that's it. And so having processes like just really dialed in is the answer to being able to do it over and over again.
And it looks to me, just on the outside, from what I've learned from you so far, most of the business you've started, all the tasks are very similar. So it's, you know, it's websites and tracking and leads and, you know, some customer fun. So once you train those things, you could just keep hitting different niches, right? And just that, is that part of your empire building plan?
And exactly. And so, you know, we go from having, you know, servicing, well, in the wedding industry, we worked with only wedding venues. Well, 2 years ago, we opened it up to vendors as well. So you start with, you know, photographers and DJs and all that. Well, then we were able to just scale that really fast and you take on a ton of clients in another vertical because nothing changed other than, okay, you guys now give your attention over here. Do the exact same thing you were doing, just do it with a little bit of a different twist. And that's it.
Got it. So I'm sure people are curious, with as many businesses as you have, do you have what's called the work-life balance? You know, how do you manage?
I don't work. In the winter, I snowmobile. I mean, now, you know, we're traveling so much for kids stuff. We've got all that. We homeschool our kids. So they go to a farm school a few days a week and work on a farm and do that. And, yeah, I mean, for the most part, I don't work. My team runs my companies.
Wow.
And I get to be, because the position I always wanted that I understood that I should be is I should be an investor in my company.
Okay.
I should be. And so I get to consider myself a strategic advisor. Mm-hmm. So I look at the big picture. Where do we want these companies to go? How do we want them to be branded? How do we want to be perceived in the market? How do we get from where we are to where we're trying to achieve? And I set that plan and say, hey, this is what we're going to accomplish. Everybody go do your job. And then everybody goes and they build their business. They build the business and they go do that. And then we check back in and we say, great, how's it working? And I get to be the advisor. And then I decide, hey, we'll allocate resources here. We'll allocate human capital here or whatever it takes. And then we just continue to, you know, assess and continue moving forward.
So we got about 4 minutes. So did you strategically move to Montana because you wanted to escape noise or just be out in the nature, or was there some reason you went there?
Yeah. So, you know, my wife is from Northern California. I'm actually from Northern California as well, but I've lived all over and I've lived, you know, one of my favorite places was Colorado and I love mm-hmm. the mountains and, you know, I spend a lot of time in the mountains and I love snowmobiling. And when COVID hit, you know, California got pummeled and even, you know, for us, don't care about anybody's politics, but for us, we were in one of the most conservative counties in all of California. Mm-hmm. And that county still, my wife was a hairstylist. Her salon got shut down like 3 times. So she goes from to zero income and, like, you know, her clients can't be served. And it was all, you know, it was just awful how they handled it. And we said, mm-hmm. you know, let's go somewhere that they treat you better.
Yes.
And so, you know, we just decided to get in the travel, you know, take our travel trailer and go figure it out. And, you know, I love Montana and I said, hey, I want to show you Montana because I think that it's something you might be interested in. So, you know, we came up here, it was July. She said, I love it. I could totally live here. And I was like, wait, let me
show you. You haven't seen winter yet, right?
Yeah, let me show you winter. So we actually came back and we did every season. So she got to experience fall and it snowed in fall. So she was like, wait, what? And then we came in the winter and it was -20. And so she got to experience that. And then we came back in the spring and it wasn't really spring because the snow was still melting. So she got to experience mm-hmm. that. But all in all, she loved it. And she, you know, we decided, all right, let's buy a house. And so, you know, a couple months later, we bought a house.
That is awesome. Hey, final question. I know I believe you don't have any partners per se. You own, but do you have to have like project managers or like a high level assistant in each company, or do you have somebody kind of a right hand person that kind of oversees? So
I do it with operations directors.
Okay.
Because, you know, so I'll have somebody who manages sales and they'll manage their sales team, and we'll have an operations director who manages the operations of everything else. So in essence, she runs the show.
Okay.
Right. So the ops director, they're the boss. Mm-hmm. They run everybody. And then on the finance side, we have a finance manager who he also manages my personal finances. So he oversees all the businesses, but then he's got his team of people who handle books and they handle, you know, billing and, you know, and AR and all of that stuff and payroll and all that. So.
Very fascinating. Well, yeah. I knew when I saw your information, I wanted to talk to you and you didn't disappoint. Really glad I got you squeezed in on my last couple months here. You can't give 12 websites. Where can somebody follow you? Probably I'm guessing the VA one. Is that the one you want them to go to? What is that?
Yeah. So the website's super easy. Level9virtual.com. So level9virtual.com. My email address is joe@level9virtual.com. If you go to the website, the top right corner is book a call button. It's big and yellow and you can't miss it. Schedule a call with our team if you have questions and you want to kind of feel it out. We're very heavy into consultative type sales, right? So we don't take everybody as clients because it's not always a great experience if we're taking the wrong people. So we're very consultative in it. So when you get on with our team, we'll literally consult you in exactly what you need for where you are. And if we're not the right fit and we're like, hey, here's what you need to do instead, then come back to us in 2 or 3 months. We will tell you that and we will be very honest. And it's one of the things I love about how we do our sales process because we just truly take care of people.
That is awesome. I'm guessing you probably read a Zig Ziglar book or two back in the day. Yeah, right.
That's, I read a lot.
That is clear. Well, Joe, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it. You've shared some amazing information today. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, folks, that wraps up this very special interview with serial entrepreneur Joe Rare, and you connect with him at level9virtual.com. You can connect with me at getjimpalmer.com if you're interested in joining me and about 23 other entrepreneurs right now in the Dream Business Mastermind. That's dreambizcoaching.com. This interview will replay forever, or as long as YouTube is still friendly, on my YouTube channel starting tomorrow. And remember, you can get free digital copies of all of my books at Amazon, Kindle, obviously, Barnes & Noble, or Nook Books. They're also in the iBook store. No opt-in, no nothing. Just go download them and get your education on me. But that's it. Until this time next week, another fantastic interview. I am Captain Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach. You guys take good care.
Now it's time to go implement what you've learned. Great ideas are nice, but results only happen through action and implementation. So stay focused. Kick all distractions to the curb.
Sleep a little less if you have to.
And create your dream business now so you too can live your dream lifestyle. To learn about building your dream business, join Jim's free Dream Business Facebook community at dreambizgroup.com. That's dreambizgroup.com. See you next week for more Dream Business Radio.